Amen. Good morning. You can be seated. Yeah, you guys don't have to stand the whole time. There we go. Hey, it's good to be here today. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. I want to welcome a friend of mine, Charlie, and then Jeffrey. Both of those, you guys remember Bob Bear from and Bob and Judy Bear from the retreat. That was my pastor growing up at Antioch Bible Baptist, and they're both from Antioch. So I'm grateful that you guys are here, made the trip down here. And Jeffrey, you live in Phoenix now, right? All right, Tucson's better, so if you want to move down here, we'd be okay with that. So just, all right, hey, it's good. Hey, guys, thanks for your prayers for my family this week. If you didn't know, I lost my grandma a couple days ago, and she's with Jesus today, and so we're grateful for that. It's really interesting. My grandma, she came to know Christ before my grandpa did, and she faithfully prayed for grandpa. She took her family to church, faithfully just took care of her family and led them spiritually until grandpa was saved, and then he began to do that. So I'm super grateful for her and her life. Hope you guys had a good time with family and friends this Thanksgiving. I know that we did. We had a house full of people. Anybody else? No? Three of you. Okay. All right. Well, hope you guys ate something. Okay, let's try that one. You guys eat food? Okay? All right, praise the Lord, man. But it's good to have time to set aside to celebrate Thanksgiving. But as Christ followers, as we saw in God's word last week, we have reason to be thankful each and every day. As Christians, we're the ones that have the reason to be thankful, church. Are you with me? So, and I want to say personally to each and every one of you, as Paul says to the church in Philippi, I echo it here. I'm thankful to call you all my faith family. And I'm so thankful and I praise God that we get to partner together in the gospel. We get to worship and serve the Lord together and reach Tucson. By the way, I know we've got quite a few people traveling today and out sick today. If you can hear a little bit of something in my voice, getting over a cold. So that's why I'm keeping distance from people today. But pray for those that are gone today. Next Sunday begins our Christmas season here at Authentic Life. I'm sure that many of you guys started listening to Christmas songs and you cheated, you know, like the day after Halloween, you started putting decorations up and doing any cheaters in here? Anybody? Okay, there you go. Yeah, they owned it. They didn't even yell at me. They're like, yeah, we good. We decorated yesterday. And so we waited till after Thanksgiving like you're supposed to. But just kidding. But it's good. As a church family, next week, we begin our series titled The Songs of Christmas. We're going to look at, like next week, we're going to look at O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We're going to look at different songs that we know. And we're going to look at the biblical truth behind them and why we celebrate and why we sing them. So I'm excited about that. I'm really looking forward to those 4 weeks. And church, I want to share with you, statistics show people say that if they're invited, they'll come during Christmas. The vast majority of people, if they're invited, not just to you share it on your Facebook page, but if you call them up and say, hey, Sherry, I'd love for you to come to church with me this Christmas season, people come. And so I pray that that we do that. With that in mind, we look forward to this season and to being used by God this Christmas season. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me. Join me in Colossians chapter 4. And as we look at these three powerful verses, our prayer is that God will use these three verses to prepare our hearts to help us see his desire for us as we go into this Christmas season. Today we're looking at a passage. By the way, if anybody needs a Bible, we've got some back there that are our gift to you. Please take those. We're looking at this passage where God uses Paul to write this letter to the church in Colossae. And in this letter, Paul addresses his thankfulness for the church. He talks about who Jesus is. We got a famous Christology passage in there. He talks about how we place our faith in Jesus, how we can be saved and reconciled. And then in chapters 3 through 4, Paul talks about what our new life in Christ looks like. When we surrender our life to Jesus, church, when we call on him to save us, the Bible says that we're no longer who we used to be. We are now made new, right? We're made new in Christ. We got a new life in Christ. And so as we walk with Jesus in this new life, Paul tells us in these couple chapters, how do we live that out? He lays out for us what we should pursue. He tells us what we're to set aside, what we're to remove from our lives. And he said, here's what you should do. Here's how you should live. Here's how you should love. But then in our three verses today, Paul is going to talk to us about prayer. Part of your new life in Christ is having a healthy prayer life. And Paul's going to tell us that if we are God's people, if we are Christians, then we are to pray. And prayer is to be a major part of our life. And so would you guys stand with me as we honor God and his word? You guys follow along on the screen or in your Bibles, and I'm going to read Colossians 4, verse 2 through 4. Here's what God's word tells us today. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, as we think about the coming season, the Christmas season, God, I pray, Lord, that you would use this passage. I pray, Lord, you would teach us today, speak into our lives and remind us that we need you and that you've called us to be used by you. And so, God, I pray, Lord, today that we would be motivated to not only pray, but to invite others to be a part of what you're doing here at Authentic Life Church, and that you would lead us to share the gospel. And so, God, I give this time to you. I pray, Lord, that you would be in charge of what comes out of my mouth, but also how we hear and just speak to our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we read this passage, I think there's one thing that is crystal clear, and it's that as Christians, when verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, we can know, church, very simply, that God wants you and me to pray. God wants us as a church family to pray. That's your first note. God wants you and us to pray. That may seem too simple, but it's super true. God wants you and me as his children to pray to him as our Father in heaven. And I think it's worth having that simple reminder, but important reminder. Church, I think as you and I might think about prayer and being Christians, we might think, man, that's a no-brainer, right? We should pray. God's children should talk to their heavenly Father in heaven, right? We should do that. But according to a survey just a few years back by Pew Research, they surveyed over 25,000 people who said that they were born again believers. They were Christians. They were saved. And out of 25,000 people who said they were saved, only 68% said that they prayed at least once a day. 17% said that they prayed at least once a week. Church, think about that. Not even 7 out of 10 children of God seek him. Are you with me, church? Like, it's only once a day that they're doing that. I don't know where you are today in your prayer life, but no matter where you are, be reminded today that God wants you to pray to him. He wants our church body to pray to him. He wants us to be devoted, not just to pray, but be devoted to praying to him. A few of us were over here having a conversation about how the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Amen? I'm just kidding, right? But I'm getting dirty looks now. But here's the thing, like, we talk about it, don't we? We wear the t-shirts, we wear the socks, we wear the hats, we wear the jerseys, we watch the game, right? We're devoted to it, right? Or whatever you guys are devoted to, even more so shouldn't we be devoted to pray to God? He wants us to be devoted to seeking him. And we're going to talk more about that, but before we go on, I want us to look at what prayer is. Church, I think sometimes we can overcomplicate prayer. We may think that we need to be in a certain place to pray, or that we need to be in the right mood to pray, or that we need to say the right words to pray, or that you have to be spiritual enough or mature enough to pray, or that you need to pray in a certain way. I remember, I'm going to share the story without giving names because we have people from my former church here, but I remember there was a guy in our choir, and every time that the worship pastor would say, who would love to pray, this guy's hand would go up, and he just talked normal, just like the rest of us. But as soon as it became prayer time, he turned into the King James version of himself, and that was his prayer voice. Church, the reality is that prayer is you and I, and it's us together as a church, just having conversation with God. It's not saying things in a certain way, at a certain time, in a certain place. It's us having a conversation with God. You can see a statement at the top of your notes, and I hope this helps you and helps us know what it means to pray. But it's this: prayer is an offering up of our desires to God. Prayer is us offering up our desires to God. I'm not trying to oversimplify prayer, church. But if we're going to put it in a simple statement, I think that says it pretty well, that prayer is us offering up, us taking our desires to God. When it comes to praying, we often think about asking God for things. That's a big part of that, right? We pray to give him thanks, to tell him thank you. We pray to seek him for answers and for wisdom. We pray to confess our sin, and we ask for forgiveness in prayer. But we're offering up those desires to him. Because if we desire wisdom, what do? We pray. If we desire help or healing, what do? We pray. If we're scared or lonely or hurt, right? We desire to hear from God, we pray. If we desire to please God, we pray. If we're hurting, right? If we're desiring to turn away from our sin, we pray. If we desire to praise God and give him thanks, we pray. Church, because we know him, because we are his, because he hears us, because he is our heavenly Father who loves us, we take our desires to the Lord and we pray. And so when I saw that only 68% of people who confess to be Christ followers said that they prayed daily, it kind of made me sad, church. I pursue a great relationship with my wife. I couldn't imagine talking to my wife just once a day. It doesn't make any sense to me that we would only talk to our Creator once a day, or once a week, or once a year, or only when we're at church, or only when we can speak in King James. Are you with me, church? It doesn't make sense. Church, we were created to be in a relationship with God. We were made to talk with him and to walk with him. You go all the way back to Genesis when we were created, Adam and Eve, they were made to be in a personal relationship with God. It says that they heard the sound of God walking with them in the garden. We were made to take our hearts and our desires to seek him and to talk to him. Church, he wants you and me and our church to pray. We see evidence of that all throughout Scripture, him calling us to seek him in prayer. But church, when we read this passage from Colossians, this is an imperative. You know what this means? This is Commander God saying, you must pray. This is a command to pray. And not just to pray, but be devoted to prayer. Church, it's good. We sing about the goodness of God. God's goodness, he knows what's best for us. And so he says, I want you to pray and to pray continuously. Be devoted to seeking me and talking with me. The next thing to know about prayer is this, and we're just going to keep building on this for a moment. But next is to know that God's will is for you and I and for our church to pray. That's his will. One of the biggest questions that Christians ask, I get asked this all the time, is what is God's will for my life? How do I know what God's will for my life is? And we see in Scripture that it's not only that God wants us to pray, but that's his will for your life, for you and our church to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us, rejoice always. Pray what, church? Pray constantly. Pray without ceasing, right? Give thanks in everything. And then all three of those together, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So rejoice always, give thanks, pray without ceasing, pray constantly, be devoted to it. That's God's will for your life. So if you came today saying, I'm trying to figure out what God's will for my life is, there you go. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then I love this one, church. Not only does God want us to pray, it's his will for us to pray. Both of these should be good enough for us, by the way. But the third is this, God delights in our prayers. It pleases God when we pray to him. Look at Proverbs 15:8. It says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. When his people pray, when you pray, when we pray together as a church, God is pleased. He enjoys it. Notice it says he delights. He's delighted in the prayers of the upright, meaning when we trust him, when we follow him, when we're living a life that is pursuing him, when we're living right in his eyes, and then we pray, that's his delight. And then listen to this verse from Isaiah 65, verse 24. It says, even before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Church, it's almost as if God is sitting on the edge of his chair, right? Ready to hear from you and to respond to you. That's a good word, church. right? Because too often we see him as the old man, long beard, right, with a lightning bolt ready to strike us down. No. He's sitting on his throne, leaning forward, saying, Tim, right, pray to me, right? I want you to pray. He delights in it. God knows us so very well that he anticipates and then he provides for us our very every need. Isaiah 58 says that when we pray, God will answer and he will be there. Just pause for a moment and take that in. The creator, the one that spoke and things were created, the one that sustains all things, the perfect father in heaven, the one that is over all, the one that is sovereign and in charge. He wants you to pray to him. That's his will, and he delights when you and I pray, and he is there listening to us. He's not a distant deity. He's a personal God, church. He's listening. And just one more, and this is important for us to know, and it's this: that God is sufficient to answer your prayers. God is sufficient. There's something that's on my heart right now, church, that's been there for a little while, you know, and that I've been praying about and I've been taking it to God. And it's so amazing for me to be reminded that God actually wants to hear from me about it. Right? He actually wants me to take it to him. He's pleased when I take this request to him, even when I take it over and over and over and over again. But it's also good for me to know, for us as a church to know, that he is sufficient. He is able not only to hear, but to answer our prayer. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, it is not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves. So let's set our pride aside, right? But our adequacy, our sufficiency is from God. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever we need to accomplish what God wants us to do in our life, he is more than able to supply us because his riches and resources are endless, church. He wants to hear from us. It's his will. He commands us to do it. He wants us to be devoted to it, but he is sufficient to answer our prayers. I love this passage. This is a passage that was laid on my heart. I've known this passage for many years, but this passage was laid on my heart before we moved down here to plant Authentic Life Church, because we're sitting there saying, God, how in the world? Like, this is one of the most unchurched cities, one of the most unsaved cities in all the United States of America. How in the world are we going to do this? And then Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It wasn't through me, it's through him. He's sufficient, church. God's ability is limitless. It is beyond our comprehension. He can do more than we could ever imagine, church. I needed this reminder this week as I've been praying about something. God is sufficient. We are not. He is always sufficient. And that leads us to another note that you and I need to know as a church, is that means we are fully dependent on him. If we can get those two things, that God wants us to pray, it's his will for us to pray, he delights in our prayers, he is sufficient when we pray, and then we are fully dependent on him, I promise you, church, that will change your prayer life. That will change your prayer life if you understand those things. God is sufficient, you are not, and so we are fully dependent on him. That's one of our core values as a church, is that we are prayerfully dependent on God. Guys, we were made to talk to God. We were made to take our desires to him. We were made to walk with him and spend time with him. And he delights when we pray to him. If you're struggling with something today, know that God is ready to hear from you and that he is right here with you. If you have questions or you need wisdom, maybe you need to confess sin, right? Or maybe you just need to be with God. He is ready and it pleases him when we seek him in prayer. You're not bugging him, I promise you. He's ready. And guess what? According to Luke chapter 11, he never gets tired of hearing from us. It doesn't matter if it's midnight, 3 a.m, 6 a.m, 7 p.m. He wants us to keep knocking and keep asking and keep knocking and keep asking. He is delighted when we are persistent and we keep coming to him and keep asking. It's his will, church. So now that we've talked about prayer, let's dive into the sermon today, okay? Are you guys ready? Look back at verse 2, where Paul writes this: devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Church, let's not ever be a people, let's not ever be a church where we are inconsistent prayers. Does that make sense? Let's never be a church where we are inconsistent prayers. Let's be followers of Jesus, and let's be a church that is devoted to prayer. I hope that we will be more devoted to prayer than we have ever been, starting right now. And it says, pray, keeping alert, right? Don't grow weary of praying. Stay alert, stay awake. Be aware of what's going on around you, church. Pay attention to what God is doing and how he is moving in your life and in our community, in our church. See what God is doing and then pray and ask to be a part of that. Let's be alert when we see God moving. Let's seek him in prayer and pray, God, we want to be used by you. Let us be a part of what you're doing. And as we looked at last week, pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thankful that he's our God. Thankful that we're his people. Thankful for his salvation. I'm going to tell you what, I got the phone call that grandma had breathed her last breath, and I gave God thanks that she's with him. Thankful that he hears us, responds to us, and wants to be with us. And then verse 3, he shifts a little bit, and he says, while you're praying, he writes, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Church, as we think about God's call on our life, as we think about the mission that Jesus has given us, that we're to go and tell others who Jesus is, and we're supposed to tell him his gospel, to tell him that Jesus came to die for your sins, right? And then he rose again so that we could be with him forever. And as we think about this Christmas season where we celebrate Jesus being born, we celebrate him coming to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. And knowing that people are more receptive to being invited. I said this earlier, but it is said by many people, if they were asked personally, they would go to church during the Christmas season. As we think about all of that, don't miss what Paul says. He says to this church, while you're being devoted to praying, while you're praying to the God who is in control, while you're praying to the God that hears you and is with you, while you pray to the God that is all sufficient, would you pray for us? And he says this, would you pray that God would open a door for us to share the gospel, to share Jesus? Would you ask the Father in heaven if he would give us opportunities to invite others to follow Jesus? Would you pray that God would make a way for me and others to tell people about Jesus, the one that loves them? Paul's team is near him, but when he writes this, he is in prison. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. Maybe all of us would be in this boat where, man, we got arrested for sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel. We just might say, God, I'm a little mad at you right now. I'm just going to sulk and be upset with you while in prison. But you know what he's doing? He said, God, I'm in prison right now, right? I have got people all around me. I've got prison guards. I've got other prisoners. Would you give me an open door to tell someone about Jesus? Church, family, authentic life, church, God has placed us right here, right now for his purpose. And he surrounded us with thousands of people who do not know Jesus. He has surrounded us with thousands of people who do not have a church home. And when we follow Paul's example, we should pray, and we must pray for an open door for the gospel of Jesus. I think that should be a part of our prayer every day when we wake up. God, would you open a door? Would you give me an opportunity to share Jesus with someone? We should pray, God, at my job, I'm with coworkers or customers or others throughout the day. Would you open a door for me to share the gospel of Jesus with them? Would you give me an opportunity to invite people the gospel preached at Authentic Life Church? Because here's my promise to you. When we preach, we're going to preach the gospel, church. God, you've placed me in my school. You've surrounded me with friends and classmates who do not know Jesus or do not have a church home. God, would you give me an opportunity to tell them and invite them? God, you put me in my home with a family, but I've also got neighbors who don't know you or don't have a church home. Oh, God, would you use me? I want to be used by you, God. I want them to know Jesus, and I want them to have a church family. God, would you open a door for me for the gospel of Jesus? Let me be clear, church. If God didn't want to use you, he would have taken us home whenever he saved us. It's an amazing privilege to be used by the Lord Jesus. But we have to know that it's him who is in charge. It's him who changes lives. It's him who saves people. Paul knew this in Acts chapter 14. He gives God all the glory. He knows that God's opened the door for him. In Acts 14, after he and his team planted churches, they were sent out by the church of Antioch. They go and plant churches. They share the gospel. They do ministry work. Many people get saved. Churches are planted. Lives were changed. He comes back to the church that sent them out, and he tells them all that God has done. And he says that God opened a door of faith for us. Right? God gave us the opportunities to share the gospel and to plant churches, and people were getting saved and joining their local church because God opened that door. Paul says it again in 1 Corinthians 16 that God has opened a wide door to share the gospel. In other words, God gave them many opportunities. Many more times, God opened a door, God opened a door, God opened a door, God opened a door. And now he continues to ask, would you pray that God would continue to open doors so that we can tell and invite? Church, I'm confident that if each and every one of us in this room and those listening online and those that will be listening later, I'm confident that if we truly prayed for God to use us and to open doors, that if we continually prayed and asked God for opportunities to share and invite, he would answer our prayers. I'm convinced that if we begin to pray and to be devoted to praying for this, then we would continue to see this city of Tucson turned upside down for Jesus. I'm convinced that if this was our continual prayer, then God would hear us and answer that prayer, church. We're going to get a little personal here. The question is do we want to be used by God? Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to share and invite? Remember, we looked at earlier that prayer is taking our desires to God. Is it your heart's desire to see people saved? Is it your heart's desire to see this church family be used by God to reach the people of Tucson? Because if it is, we'll ask God for it. Is that our desire, to see people saved, to see this church grow? If so, we must pray. There's no other, right? There's no other recipe, church. We pray. And that leads us to our final thought and note for this morning. Look at verse 3-4. It says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison. And then he says this, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul is saying, God, I don't just want you to open a door. I need you. I need you to lead me. I need you to do something through me. I need you to work through the life of the person that I'm going to be speaking to. And so following Paul's example, we don't only pray for the opportunity, but then we pray for clarity and boldness, church. We pray for clarity, for the words to say, and for the boldness to go and do it. Jesus, help me make you known as I should. Jesus, help me share the truth of the gospel as I should. Jesus, help me tell others what you have done in my life. Jesus, give me the words to say. Help me remember what your word says. Help me be clear. God, you're in charge of this open door. Will you give me the words to share and invite? Jesus, give me the boldness I need. God, help me not be worried about what other people think about me. Help me not be worried about the response. Help me just love you and trust you enough to do what you asked me to do. And God, help me love this person enough and care about their eternity enough that I will pray for the open door, and then I would have the boldness to share and invite. In Acts chapter 4, Paul and John were arrested for preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus. And right before being released, they were told by those in the authority, religious leaders, they were saying, don't you dare speak or preach in the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you Jeff's version of their response. But basically, they're saying, don't invite other people to be a part of your church. Don't invite them to your small group. Don't tell them that Jesus died for them. Don't speak of Jesus. But they said, sorry, Jack. It's in the Greek, I'm sure of it. I can't stop telling others about Jesus. Church, when we pause and we remember all that Jesus has done for us, how can we stop? Nothing should be able to stop us. And then Peter and John leave, and they get that threat, and they go to their church family. and they said, here's the threat. Here's what we're facing. Here's what these people in authority have said. They said, don't talk about Jesus anymore. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the church, they gather and they pray and they ask God, oh, and now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness. They didn't pray for God's protection. They didn't pray for that to go away. They said, God, we want your boldness because we still need to speak. They're saying, God, this is going to make it less easy. God, it's going to make it a little more scary. God, it's going to make it a little more uncomfortable, but give us the opportunity to share Jesus and then give us the boldness and the courage, God. And then in verse 31, we see that they prayed and that God heard their prayer and he answered their prayer. And here's what happened. When they prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Church, they prayed. God wanted them to pray. It was his will for them to pray. He delighted in their prayer, and they knew that he was sufficient and that they were not. God heard their prayer, and then God moved. He used them. He opened doors. He gave them the words to say, and he gave them the courage and the boldness to go out and share the gospel and invite. God, would you give us, your people here at Authentic Life Church, the opportunities, the words, and the boldness? God, this is our heart's desire to be used by you, to see you move, to see you change lives, to share your gospel with those around me and invite others to hear the gospel at Authentic Life. Church, let's just have a moment of honesty. If your heart's desire is to see Jesus change other people's lives and to turn the city upside down, then you will pray. If it's not your heart's desire, then you won't. I pray that it's our heart's desire and that we'll see this happen, and it'll happen when we pray. God will hear us, church. I'm going to have Justin come up, and I didn't prep him for this, but just play a little for us, Justin. While we have some music played during this time, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that we would be used by God. We're going to pray for those who need Jesus. We're going to pray for those who need a church home. Pray that God would give you the courage. And so I just want to invite you to close your eyes. Maybe pray with your neighbor if you need to come up front and pray, whatever it is that you want to do. But pray. Pray that God would put someone on your heart that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't have a church family. Pray that he would give you the opportunity and that you would see that opportunity and then you would have the boldness to share Jesus with them or invite them to church. Would you pray? Take your time. Take your neighbor's name, your friend's name, your coworker's name, your classmate's name to Jesus. And say, God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel and invite them to church. Give me the courage to do that. I'm convinced, church, if we pray and ask God, he'll answer. Father in heaven, we can get so distracted during Christmas season that we forget. We forget it's about you, and that it's about you coming to be with us so that you could die on the cross for us and rise again, saving us from our sins and reconciling us to you. Sometimes we forget that you want to use us. Sometimes we forget that you hear us and that you want to give us these opportunities. Sometimes we forget about our neighbors. We worry about who has the best Christmas decorations. But we forget that they don't know Jesus. We forget that if they died today, they would spend eternity apart from you in a place called hell that was never created for them. We forget that we have the answer, and the answer is Jesus and the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We forget. But God, if prayer is us offering up our desires to you, God, I pray, Lord, that we would be convicted and burdened if we're not praying about this to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would burden our hearts. Give us the desire to seek you in prayer. Give us the desire to invite others. Give us the desire to share Jesus. And God, give us the opportunity and the boldness and the words to say. God, if they say no, that's between them and you. That's not about us. God, would you please use us? I think about those that are in these chairs, up on stage, sitting in their seats, in their car, wherever they're listening or watching. God, you want to use each and every one of us. Help us make a commitment to you before we wrap up this prayer. That God, we want to be used by you. Open a door for us and give us the boldness. God, I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that says, you know, I don't know Jesus. I don't know. I didn't know that he came and died for me. I didn't know that he rose again. I didn't know that he died for my sins because he loved me. Or maybe, God, they've just rejected you until this point. God, I pray, Lord, that you would save them today. I pray, God, that they would respond, they would turn from how they've been doing life, and they would turn to Jesus, the one that's in charge. God, I pray, Lord, if someone here today does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they would say, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to be saved today. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to know that if I were to die today, I would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. God, would you do what only you can do today? God, help us not forget. Help us be devoted to prayer. Help us pray for open doors and give us the words and boldness to pray. In Jesus' name.